It's time right now for our legislative update. In Olympia, it's Senator Brad Hawkins from the 12th District. Hi, Brad.
Hi, good morning, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's good to have you on here, and I know you've been busy in Olympia this past week already.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. We are starting to really get going. Last week was our first week, and during the first week, you have some ceremonial things mixed in with your regular work. We had the swearing in of my new colleague, state senators, the governor's state of the state address, where he laid out his priorities. I escorted statewide elected officials into that event. So there were those ceremonial duties, but we're already starting to meet in committees and do some important work there. For this session, I will continue to serve as the ranking member on the Senate's Education Committee. I'll also continue to serve on the Senate Transportation Committee. My third committee is new this year. It's higher education, which is something I am interested in. So those three committees are definitely keeping me busy. Among a lot of other things, a lot of constituents write in, especially the first half of the session, while all these new bills are being introduced and people have a lot of concerns and interests. So things are definitely very busy the first several weeks of each session.
Chatting with Senator Brad Hawkins. Brad, we'll get to the committees. We'll get to the governor's budget proposal. But, hey, one of those new acts is the Washington Cares Act. What do you think about this?
Well, I heard the KOZI just report on that, and my colleague in the House, Representative Steve Theringer, was quoted extensively in that report. I voted against that. That's some people refer to it as the Washington Cares Act. I refer to it as the long-term care tax. It was originally passed in 2019, and once it actually got to the point where it was going to be implemented, if you remember back a couple years ago, David, I mean, there was a huge upswell of you know, frustration all across Washington State, where eventually it led to the governor pausing the program. And I think part of the reason he did that was because it was such a political hot potato. He probably didn't want everyone going into the November elections having to answer to this issue. But for many of the reasons that me and some of my colleagues who voted against it mentioned at the time, and it was being debated, all sort of came to roost. It's a tax on payroll of $5.80 for every $1,000 you earn, but there's a capped lifetime benefit of only $36,500. And certainly, long-term care is extremely important, but it is very costly. And so that cap really would only address, you know, maybe a handful of months, maybe a year's worth of long-term care. And there's problems with that program. It's not portable across state lines. There are a lot of existing private insurance options for long-term care, which work very well. And so why the state needed to kind of create its own program and tax everybody for, you know, their lifetime of their career for a $36,000 benefit was just, you know, something I couldn't support. And also we have a lot of young people all across our state who are working hard to pay off their student loans. They're working hard to save up for their first home purchase, that down payment. And a lot of these young people will essentially be paying into this system their whole working careers, and then if they move out of state or retire elsewhere, they wouldn't be able to receive any benefit. So I voted against the bill. I do support long-term care. It's very important, but I don't think this is the right approach. But now that the election's over and the governor is sort of unpausing the program, some of the sponsors are going to try to figure out a pathway forward, and this will be one of the big issues that may need to be resolved this session.
And you guys will be talking about ways to improve that?
Well, I actually would favor just scrapping it altogether, honestly. I think since it was approved, the prime sponsor at the time in 2019, ended up becoming the Speaker of the House of Representatives. And, you know, even though the governor paused it, the governor said he wants to, work out the issues and things. I don't think it would sort of be egg on their face to just kind of do away with the program altogether. So I think they're going to try to make adjustments and somehow move it forward. But the problem is the math just doesn't pencil out on the program. The reason they didn't write the program to allow portability across state lines is because, you know, they need people paying into this program in order to ensure that some people could get the benefits that are described in the program. And if they allow some of these things that give people concerns, taking their plan across state lines or doing other things, then increasing the benefit, then the numbers just won't work out. So there's a lot unresolved still about that program. And it will be interesting to see kind of what they come back with as a 2.0 revision to that.
And on the phone line with us is State Senator Brad Hawkins from the 12th District. Brad, one of the things that the legislature looks at is wildfires, and of course changes up in Okanagan trying to make things a little safer. Anything on that front from Olympia?
Well, I had a really good conversation with Public Lands Commissioner Hillary Franz that day of the State of the State address, where, as I mentioned, I escorted the statewide elected officials, so I got a chance to catch up with the Attorney General, catch up with state Supreme Court justices, and had quite an extensive conversation with Commissioner Franz about the wildfires that occurred in our area, including up Highway 2, the Bolt Fire, in some of those communities up there. So it's really interesting. You know, when you look at wildfire, there's kind of two aspects. There's the firefighting, which is the immediate reaction and the response to suppress the fires that start. And then there's also the long-term effort related to wildfire, forest management practices, clearing out the underbrush, trimming out clearing the small diameter trees, adding a prescribed fire to treat the landscape, all those efforts to make existing forest lands more resilient to withstanding natural caused wildfire. So there's kind of two aspects. When it comes to the firefighting, what we really need to do, and Commissioner Franz, to her credit, has been steering the DNR in this direction, being able to put out the fires soon after they start rather than just managing fires once they get burning. And the way we're doing that at the state is having some contracts in place with private aircraft that allow the state of Washington to have first right of refusal, because we have our own aircraft and we've been boosting up our air resources. But when there are other wildfires in the western United States and Canada, there is a lot of competition for some of those resources. But if we could put out the fires soon after they start or knock them down quickly as a first response, then we'll have a much better chance. And we have, as a legislature, continue to invest in forest management practices on state lands, and that's been a big help. But as Commissioner Franz and I discussed, we do have a lot of U.S. Forest Service lands in our state, and that is the federal government. And so we can only do so much. We need the U.S. Forest Service to be an active partner.
And hopefully that will continue with a good partnership there.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, I spoke with Representative Mike Steele and Representative Keith Gaynor, and we talked about the governor's budget proposal and housing. How are you feeling about that, Brad?
Well, I have concerns, but there's no doubt that housing is an extremely important issue, and especially in Chelan Manson community, as many of your listeners know. We our housing issues here in North Central Washington, it's like Leavenworth, Chelan, even the Wenatchee Valley, it's a little bit different than what the metropolitan areas of Western Washington and Seattle are experiencing. They're dealing more with a lot of homelessness issues. Now, we have some homelessness issues, no doubt, in our communities, but really we need boosts to workforce housing to allow the people who provide the services in the community to live in their community. So communities like Leavenworth and Chelan can have young families and have a cross-section of what makes a community vibrant. Maintain that sense of community, not just, you know, sell properties to second home purchasers from outside the area. So there's a lot of challenges, though, with the governor's proposal, because he's proposing to borrow $4 billion beyond the state's debt limit and to build a bunch of new housing units, even as I'm digging into it, potentially trying to cover the closing costs and down payments for low-income homeowners. I mean, I think some of this might be a bit aggressive, and I don't know that we should take on the debt and raise our debt limit for things that we should and could be paying for all along. So we need to make sure we invest, if this is a priority, and I do believe it is, the first dollar of our resources, and we do have a budget surplus right now, rather than the kind of the last dime or borrow money to do it. I also think we can have some reforms as well, reducing regulations, trying to provide more opportunities for condominiums, duplexes, increase local government flexibility, maybe provide some sales tax incentives to home builders on the products. Things that we could do on the regulatory side, streamline permitting and other things to help increase housing supply as well as make capital investments to housing. I do think we need to do both, but also I don't know how we could deliver on $4 billion of housing by 2030 and the aggressive timeline that he's how to do that efficiently. So there's a lot of things that still need to be sorted out with the governor's proposal. But I do appreciate his focus on housing. I passed a housing bill last year with the help of the Chelan Valley Housing Trust and many other local stakeholders. So it definitely is a priority.
All right. State Senator Brad Hawkins from the 12th District. I know you've got committee meetings you're heading into today and this week. We sure appreciate you calling in and being with us for our legislative update on this Tuesday.
Thank you, David. Look forward to connecting with KOZI next week as well. Have a great day.
And you keep battling the good fight in Olympia, sir. Thank you much.
Thank you.